Welcome to the Showtime Boxing International Conference Call. There will be a Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question during that time, you may do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. I will now turn the call over to Chris de Blasio.
Thank you, operator. I'd like to say good evening, good afternoon, and good morning to those of us on the call joining across time zones across the Northern Hemisphere here. All of us at Showtime are excited to present a Showtime Boxing International, a nice unification fight between Carl Frampton and Eddie Hearn for Super Bantamweight championships. This is the third, excuse me,
Carl Frampton. I hope it's not me.
I better cut both my legs off, I think. In the morning time zone, just shaking off the cobwebs. Sorry, folks. Scott Quigg. So this is the third such presentation of Showtime Boxing International, where we will partner with a co-production with a UK broadcaster. In this case, on Saturday, Feb 27, the Sky Sports broadcast and coverage of that fight will be shown live on Showtime Extreme. As usual, we'll have some Showtime talent. Our host, Barry Tompkins, along with analyst Steve Farhood, and Daniel Jacobs will join from a studio in New York to wrap the fight, both top and tail, with some highlights preview, of course, up front, and then analysis after that fight before we go off the air. The precise start time of our Showtime Extreme broadcast is not determined, but it will be somewhere in the 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern U.S. Time zone. We're just trying to coordinate our start time so we can catch the ring walks of this great main event fight at the sold-out Manchester Arena in Manchester, England. Without much further ado here, let me introduce our Executive Vice President and General Manager, Steven Espinoza, responsible for all of our boxing programming on Showtime, to say a few words about the fight. Steven?
Thank you, Chris, and thank all of you for joining us on the call this morning or this afternoon. As many of you hopefully know, 2016 is Showtime's 30th anniversary, 30 years of Showtime Championship Boxing, in a nice bit of circularity here. You know, Barry McGuigan was obviously a very popular fighter in his own time. He participated in the third Showtime telecast ever, June 23rd of 1986. In the fight of the year against Stevie Cruz. Just a bit of trivia there. We're glad to be back in business with the McGuigans. Very happy to be in business again with Eddie Hearn and Matchroom Sport. And, of course, glad to have both of these excellent fighters on our telecast. You know, this fight really needs an introduction. They're selling. It's sold out Manchester Arena. It's a matchup that's been brewing for a few years. We're very, very excited to have it on. Of course, Team Quigg, we'd like to thank all of them for their help in closing this deal, as well to Team Frampton. We believe this will be a beginning of a very interesting year. For my part, I believe we're entering a very, very interesting time period in lighter weights, whether it's a bantamweight, super bantamweight, or featherweight. We've got a lot of great fighters both in the U.S., in the U.K., and around the world, and this will kick off what I think will be a banner year in the lighter weight classes. For my part, I can't wait for February 22nd to 27th, and without further ado, I'll turn it back over to Chris to introduce Team Quigg.
Thank you, Stephen. Yes, February 27th. On Showtime Extreme, live in the late afternoon, early evening, and we'll have that precise start time out to all the press as soon as we identify it. Also, this fight will re-air later that night on Showtime, immediately following our live championship boxing presentation with Leo Santa Cruz and Kiko Martinez fighting from the Honda Center in Anaheim. So we'll get two pops of this great fight. If you missed it in the afternoon, it'll replay later that evening. Matchroom Sport and Eddie Hearn, we've had the pleasure to work with you, Eddie, over the years, last several years. We're excited to be in business for this fight for sure. Eddie, if you'd like to welcome everyone and introduce Team Quigg, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's an honor to have this fight on Showtime. When we made the fight, it was so important to me that we had the right broadcast partners around the world. Of course, live on the Sky Sports pay-per-view. in the UK. We really wanted to team up with the correct partners, and Showtime are our perfect partners in the US for this fight. They're already invested heavily in the division, and I'm glad that they had the vision to be part of this memorable and historic night for British and Irish boxing. 21,000 in the arena, sold out in just 2 minutes. It's the fastest selling sporting event of all time at the arena. And split into two, 10,000 Irish, 10,000 English. I think it's going to be an atmosphere like never seen before on a night of boxing. I mean, I feel like boxing and live sport is about passion, it's about energy, and it's about excellence. And you have all three of those factors on February the 27th. Two of the very best fighters in the world, certainly two of the very best fighters in the division, taking part in a unification bout. Scott Quigg against Carl Frampton is a mouth-watering contest, and there's going to be a lot of fun and games on fight week, and the night itself is going to be very, very special. In terms of the fight, we're very, very confident. Scott Quigg has just demolished Kiko Martinez in two rounds. Commercially, the fight is set. We're expecting huge numbers on the Sky Sports pay-per-view network, who are our exclusive broadcast partners in the UK. And Scott Quigg is in fantastic condition, physically and mentally, and ready to take this opportunity. I'm proud to represent him. That he is, without doubt, one of the hardest working, most stubborn, resilient, single-minded individuals I have ever met, who is hell-bent on becoming the very, very best at what he does. He has a fantastic trainer, as we said, Trainer of the Year, Ring Magazine, Joe Gallagher, who comes up with exquisite and proven game plans and tactics that win time and time again. You know, already three world champions in his stable in the past 12 months, and they are so confident. I spoke to Joe Gallagher yesterday. So, firstly, just a few words from Scott Quigg's trainer. You heard it, and he won't be shy of me telling you again. Ring Magazine Trainer of the Year, Joe Gallagher.
Hi there. Thanks for that introduction, mate. listen, we're really confident in this fight with Carl Frampton. I've always likened it to the version of Barrera Morales 1. I think it's got all the ingredients. Both undefeated fighters, both with a lot of pride at stake. But I think the defining factor between the two is Scott Quigg's punching power. You've seen what he did with Kiko Martinez before that, which goes under the radar, his fantastic win over Rendell Monroe, who had already beaten Kiko Martinez. And then the fighters that he's beat in between them fights, knocking them out in two or three rounds. Scott Quigg's punching power, I reckon, is one of the hardest punching fighters in the world boxing today. When you look at the likes of Kovalev and Golovkin, and then you come down the lower weights, Scott Quigg is right up there amongst them. We're really looking for a good fight. Obviously, Carl went over to America last time, got put down early, and people say we're taking that as a chink in his armour. Well, he's come back with the tail between his legs now. He'll be going into the fight. He has them doubts. And I know once Scott Quigg starts connecting head or body, Carl Frampton, he'll be in deep trouble. And I'm really expecting a real good fight, but a spectacular win for Scott Quigg. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. WBA Super Bantamweight Champion of the World, shortly to become the Unified Champion of the World, Scott Quigg.
Hi, everybody. First of all, I just want to say I'm delighted to be on Showtime. To be shown in America and on one of the main networks. So thank you for picking this fight up. It's a fight I've wanted for a long time. It's a fight that's been brewing for a long time. And as soon as that dotted line was signed, all my Christmas trees come at once, because it was, you know, everything I've worked towards, you know, wanting to become the best, and people with this fight being talked of for numerous years now, and it was getting built bigger and bigger, and people was picking him to as the better fight. I've always wanted the chance to prove I'm the best, and now the fight's been made, I'm 1,000,000% confident in this fight. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to win in spectacular fashion.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Eddie. With us is our publicist, longtime boxing publicist, John Beirutti. John, if you want to open up the Q&A session, please.
Okay, operators, do we have any questions in queue? And if not, can you give instructions one more time, please?
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that is star 1. And the first question comes from the line of Eddie Goldman with No Holds Bar.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. I'm really glad to see this fight taking place between two undefeated champions. First question is for Carl. There's obviously been a lot of discussion about your last fight with Gonzalez, knockdown in the first round, and how you were able to come back and dominate the rest of that fight. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because obviously a lot of people are going to be remembering that since it's your most recent fight. And that's for Carl.
Eddie, Carl, I'm sorry, is not on the call yet. I should have mentioned that up front. Carl's going to join us in a little bit. First portion here with Scott Quigg and Matchroom.
Okay, so I'll ask that to Scott. Obviously, people have seen that fight. What do you think that indicates that Carl was knocked down in the first round by a fighter like Gonzalez? He obviously did come back and win the decision, but what do you think that indicates about him?
I mean, he come by, listen, he got off to a shaky start, he come, got put down a couple of times, but that's not the reason why I take any confidence from, you know, what happened in that fight. It was, he got off to a shaky start. I've always said he doesn't fight well other than in Belfast. He has quite a bit of a, in my opinion, he likes his comfort blanket, which is he's fighting in his hometown, and He showed vulnerabilities in that fight. He fair play to him. He come back. He got the he boxed the orders and got the win. But the it showed that these little weaknesses in his armor that I'd already seen, and it shows that the things I'd been seeing and the chinks in his armor, they are there. I'm expecting him to go back to the drawing board and iron them mistakes out. But there's a lot more mistakes that I will pick up on, and I'll punch him on the night.
Will you be going for an early knockout, or will there be pressure on you, given your last fight with Martinez and a number of early knockouts that you had before? Will there be pressure on you to try to end this early?
My fights have finished early because I've done and stuck to what I've been gone out to do. You know, I've not gone out to end them early. I've gone out and boxed to orders and picked the right shots at the right time. If the knockout comes early, it comes early. If I've got a box for 6-7 rounds, I smart him, I box him, and then the shots there to take him out, that's what will happen. People are going out because I've been knocking guys out quite early. I've been going out for the stoppages. I've been going out and I've been boxing. If you go looking for the knockout, it doesn't come. You go out, stick to your boxing. You set the shots up, and when the opening's there, you take the opening. I know that if I land clean on any super bantamweight or featherweight in the world, you know, clean, I will knock them out. So it's about just making sure I pick the right timing, I open the gaps, and when the gaps are there, then I'll take them.
And you mentioned about the effect that he has in fighting away from his home crowd. You're going to be fighting with the Lancashire fans. I think the majority of the fans are going to be for you in the arena in Manchester. How much does that affect a fighter, having the crowd on his side?
It doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't, I don't take note whether I've, you know, got the crowd behind me or whether it was behind him. You know, when you're in that ring, there's only you two and the ref, including, you know, all, you can do all the preparation with your team, leading up to the fight, but when that bell goes, everybody steps down, and there's only you and him in the ring. So, whether there's 20,000 in there for me, or there was 20,000 in there for him, that's irrelevant to me. I know what I've got to do, but I know for a fact that he takes comfort from having a lot of support, especially when he boxes in Ireland. It's like a bit of a comfort blanket for him, and when he's took away from that, he seems a bit, he shows vulnerabilities, and I think that will affect him on the night.
Okay, thank you. Good luck in the fight.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you,
next
Eddie.
Question.
The next question comes from the line of Jonathan Snowden with Bleacher Report.
Hi. In America, we're trying to get a sense of what the rivalry is like between Ireland and England when it comes to athletics. I know it's not the 1970s anymore at the height of the IRA, but what does this rivalry still mean to you and your fans?
I think the rivalry is very big because, you know, the English fans, they're passionate about the sport in general. The Irish are passionate about their sport. And to be honest with you, boxing really is one of the biggest sports that the Irish get behind. So it does, the rivalry there is, we're very passionate. They get behind their man. The support that they give all the Irish fighters that they do follow is, you know, they create a great atmosphere. But the rivalry between, you know, the English and the Irish now with this building, it's going to be set an atmosphere off even more because we're both at the top of our game. There's a lot riding on this and there's a lot of pride at stake, and I think the atmosphere on the night is going to be absolutely electric.
So the boxing scene generally right now in the UK and Ireland is as strong as it's probably been in 20 years. Do you feel like you're a part of something special going on right now?
Yeah, I think the boxing at the minute in Ireland and England is the best it's been. There's a lot of it shows with the performances and the amount of UK British world champions there is at the minute. You know, we've been going over to America and performing well, winning world titles, and it's showing that everybody's improving. You know, the old scene in England, Ireland, the UK, it's really thriving at the minute, and to be part of this era now, and it's even though, you know, you fight the domestic fights sometimes and they're going against each other, but when you've got all these world champions now coming from, you know, the UK, you seem to bounce and thrive off each other, you know, and you see, for instance, you know, Kell Brook going over to America, beating Port, and performances like that, it shows you and gives you that the other fighters believe that we are as good as the fighters in the US, Mexico, which people used to question, you know, back a few years back, are we as good? But I've always believed we're as good, and it's proving that now. You know, everybody's learning, everybody's improving, and, you know, the fighters are doing what they are and going over and winning world titles abroad as well.
So this fight is going to be seen by the American fans on Showtime. I wonder if that's like the first step for you to maybe follow in the footsteps of someone like Ricky Hatton and come to Las Vegas, come to America, and become a global fighter. Is that the idea for you? Is that where you want to be in 5 years or less?
Yeah, 100%. That's what I come in boxing for. First of all, I come in boxing to become world champion. And once I achieved that goal, I didn't stop there. I set new goals and new heights because I want to challenge myself every day. And, you know, to be go on to achieve and accomplish what, for instance, Ricky Hatton did, getting that crossover into the US market where, you know, he ended up taking 40,000 Brits to Las Vegas and being a global star. That's the next goal that I've set, you know, and it's about just keeping the hard work going, a lot of dedication, staying focused, and keep doing what I'm doing every day, because what I've been doing so far has been working, and it's all about improving every day and becoming that crossover into the US market, you know, so you can, again, getting this chance now to fight on Showtime, and this is an absolute massive fight over here and for the US to pick this up and show it on one of the mainstreams in the US. That's the first step. If I go out here, well, I will go out here and do a job on Carl Frampton and winning spectacular fashion, that's surely going to give me a real boost to get that crossover into the US and maybe potential fights down the line with Leo Santa Cruz and, you know, some of the other great fighters in the division.
All right, well, thank you so much for your time. I'm really looking forward to seeing the fight on the 27th. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Before we go to the next question, hey, Scott, can you take a second and sort of take us through the timeline between you and Frampton, how far you guys, I mean, you guys have been on each other's radar from a distance or up close for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, this is, this is I was going over, I was going through this a couple of days ago. I was it's nearly 4.5 years this has been brewing. So when I become just before I become British champion and he picked up the Commonwealth title, from that point on, you know, there's been real talk of us always fighting from that point on. Even as we was coming through, when we was both prospects, you know, they was comparing who's the better fighter there, but there was never really any real talk of it then. But when I become British champion, that's when it really started getting interesting, and Eddie were throwing daft offers about when he was promoting Carl, and I was with the Hattons. But so you're looking at 4.5 years this has been building, and I think this is the this is the perfect time now for this to happen. You know, we're both world champions, we're both undefeated, and it's from that point when it was, you know, first talked about to now, the public interest in it, the building and the platform that's it's become to be able to be staged on now, it shows that this is the perfect time for the fight, and I believe this is the perfect time for me to go out there and do a job on it.
People look at this fight like it's a 50-50 fight. Do you look at it as a 50-50 fight, that this is going to be your toughest fight, or do you see flaws where maybe, you know, you could take advantage and not make it a 50-50 fight? What are your thoughts on that?
The way I look at things is, and this is why I never take anything for granted. I'm never complacent in anything I do. I train and I do what I do every day, because it only takes one punch. You know, you've got to be switched on, and every fight's your toughest fight. You know, my previous fight with Kiko Martinez, that was my toughest fight. The training that I did for that, the preparation, the work, everything that went into that training camp, and everything I did on the night, yeah, it might have ended in two rounds, but that was still my toughest fight to date, because it was only it only ended like it did because I followed the instructions and I performed to the best of my abilities, which I know I will do on the night against Frampton. So it's about, you don't know, I can go in there and I might knock him out in the second round, and people go, oh, that was still would have been my toughest fight, because it's about the preparation. The preparation makes the fight. You know, the fight's the easy bit. Everything that you do to prepare is what's hard. You know, you've got to put your body through, get your body in great shape. You've got to nail down the tactics, go through everything, you know, religiously, every day, day in, day out, boxing 24/7. And the fight, you go out there and you enjoy it. You know, you make no mistakes. You know, you've got to be switched on. But every fight's your toughest fight. You can't think, oh, this is going to be an easy fight. You're going there prepared for the most grueling, hard 12 rounds, and anything else is a bonus.
Do we have a question in queue, operator? Go ahead.
If you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. And we do have a question from Mitch Aberson with RingTV.com.
Hey, Scott. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, mate.
Good. My question is this. You know, the winner of this fight will likely have to give up one of his titles to face his mandatory challenger. And I just want to ask you, you know, how do you feel about that? Is that kind of, do you feel like that's unfair just in this type of situation to be in?
At the end of the day, it's what the governing bodies do. It's their rules and regulations. So I can't really judge on that. At the end of the day, my focus is on beating Carl Frampton. I'll beat Carl Frampton, and then we'll look at fighting the best in there. And obviously, you've got one with, I think it's either Rigondo or Shingo Wake. And I've always said I'm out to fight the best and beat the best. So I'd obviously go and fight Guillermo Rigondo. You know, I'm not scared of fighting him. I'm not shying away from challenges. As I've just stated then, it's about I challenge myself, and that's what I thrive on. And obviously fighting Guillermo Rigondo, who's rightly so, ranked number one in the division because what he's achieved and what he's done so far. But I honestly believe that if the time comes and me and him fight, I believe I can beat him.
You mentioned trying to follow in the footsteps of Ricky Hatton in terms of increasing your profile, you know, worldwide. Picking the face Rickendow, was that part of your strategy just to endear yourself to fans?
It's obviously, you want to, you've got to fight the best, and beating Cal Frampton, that will then be, you know, him out of the way. You know, obviously the focus is on him at this moment. But when you see fighters, for instance, Canelo, and we're supposed to be fighting Golovkin, and you see some of the fans, and they get quite annoyed with, well, you've just won the world title at that weight, but now you won't fight Golovkin. And obviously, I know there's business in that, you know, and it's what makes sense for people, but I'm a fighter that wants to give the fans what they want, and, you know, I'm not scared of anybody, and it's about, obviously, I'd be saying that I'll stick by the WBA as well, because I've been the champion for them, and it's just about going out there and getting this job done, and then we'll see from there. But Glenn O'Regan has been mandated, so it's a fight that I wouldn't relinquish my belt to avoid him.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, thank you. Carl, do you have any closing comments? We can wrap up your portion of the call right now, if you have any closing comments.
Okay. Me?
Scott.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. no, I'm just, like I said, I'm just very grateful for Showtime picking this fight up. Training's going very well. I'm in great shape already. I'm looking forward to the night, and I'm hoping everybody in the US enjoys the fight and enjoys a spectacular performance from myself in defeating Cal Frampton.
Okay.
Hey, John, thank you. This is Chris de Blasio again. I want to thank Scott Quigg, and I wish you the best of luck on February 27th. We will be watching. Eddie, I won't be putting you in any more fights in the future. I'll let you handle that business yourself, and maybe get some training from Joe Gallagher. He might be able to help you in your career. gentlemen, I do thank you for taking the time out. I know it's a busy time and a busy fight for you guys. So keep working hard, and we look forward to seeing you on February 27th.
Thanks for the support.
Thank you very much.
So with that, I am told we have Team Frampton on the line. Is that correct, everyone? Operator, can you unmute the lines for the McQuiggins and for Carl Frampton?
Correct.
They are unmuted.
Very good. Thank you, operator. And I want to thank Barry McQuiggin and everyone from Cyclone Promotions for joining us today. And, of course, Carl Frampton, the IBF Super Bantamweight champ, for jumping on the call with us as well. As I mentioned earlier, we have an exciting fight card lined up to co-produce with the Sky Sports broadcast on February 27th. And Carl and Barry, you guys didn't get the pleasure. Steven Espinoza was able to welcome everyone at the top of the call and express his gratitude for having the opportunity to televise this fight live in the U.S. On the 27th. So I just want to say on his behalf, thank you. Without further ado, I'd like to ask you, Barry, if you'd make a few words. Barry, we've had history on Showtime. You fought some 30 years ago on our network in 1986. And maybe just say a few words. Welcome, everyone, and introduce your fighter and his team.
Yeah, well, equally thrilled to be working with Steven Espinoza, a brilliant man who's done some great things in boxing, and we're thrilled to be part of the history of his success at Showtime, and thrilled to be part of this big fight. It's a huge fight, massive in the UK, and it's also massive around the world, and we're looking forward to it. Carl's in incredible condition, and his trainer Shane is sitting here as well, and we're just sitting outside the gym because inside the gym the reception is terrible. So and we're on a mobile phone, so do be patient with us.
No problem, Barry. Thank you very much. So any questions, operator, if you'd give the instructions for questions for Barry McGuigan, for Shane McGuigan, Carl's trainer, and for the champion, Carl Frampton.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that is star 1. We will pause for a moment for the Q&A roster.
Thank you. Before we begin, Shane, would you like to make a comment about preparations, how things are going, and maybe anything specific you can tell us about how you prepare for a fighter like Scott Quigg?
His preparations have been going great. We've been in camp a very, very long time since the fight was announced. But he had a little bit of downtime over Christmas to allow some festive moments with his family. But that was all good. So, you know, he's able to come back into camp nice and refreshed and ready for the final stretch. And since being back in camp, he's been flying and performing every day. So it's just about making sure we peak correctly, but we're on track and everything's going great.
Thank you. Anything you care to share about Scott Quigg and what he might bring to the table, what challenges he poses or weaknesses you may see?
Scott's a good fighter, but he's a bit one-dimensional at times, but he does everything. You know, he's quite neat and quite tidy, and he's obviously a very decent puncher. But, when it comes to skill ability and punch variety and putting on a show, Carl Frampton's the man. And he's going to do a big number on Scott Quigg, and he's going to look exciting in doing so.
Thank you. John Berruti, are you with us if we have any questions in queue?
The first question in queue is from Eddie Goldman with No Holds Bar.
Thank you very much. Hello again. Carl, there's been a lot of discussion about your last fight, of course, with Gonzalez, what it signified. A lot of people saw the fight. You were down in the first round, came back, and dominated the rest of the fight. What can we draw about that early and unexpected knockdown in that fight?
I think that last fight was probably I'm going to call it a blessing in disguise, because if I had went in and blew Alejandro Gonzalez away in one or two rounds, then you guys wouldn't be on the phone talking to me about fighting Scott Quigg. Because I get put over in the first round is the only reason this fight's happening. I've been chasing Scott Quigg for a long time. I've been chasing him for at least 4 years when he was British champion. And it's only now that they want the fight. So, again, a blessing in disguise, but it wasn't my best performance. But if you take it round out of the equation, then it wasn't a bad performance. I got up and done what I had to do to win. But I'll need to be at my best to beat Quigg. And so far in the gym, everything's looking like you're going to see the best ever Carl Frampton.
What do you think your advantages are over him? He's coming off a fight where, in the first round, he had a little difficulty, but he came back and he got a big knockout in the second round. And he's gotten a lot of knockouts early in recent fights. But what do you think your advantages are over him?
Natural talent is the main thing. People talk about how dedicated and how hard Scott Quigg's trained, but if they think that I don't train equally as hard as him, then they're wrong. But the difference is natural talent. Everything that he does is programmed. He's been taught how to fight. I know how to fight. I've been boxing since I was 7 years. It's all I know, really. And that's going to be the big difference. You know, he has hard work, but I have hard work and natural talent, and that's going to be the big difference.
And do you think it makes much difference, the location of this fight in Manchester? It's, you know, almost a road fight. For you, my guess is that a majority of the fans rooting for him. Is that going to make any difference to you, whether you will have your fans there?
Well, the majority of the fans will be rooting for me. I know I'm fighting away from home. I know it's in Scott Quigg's hometown, but guy doesn't really sell tickets. because of the magnitude of this fight, he'll obviously sell a few more tickets, but that's all off the back of my name. That's why he's selling tickets. But I'll have at least 70% of the support in the arena that night. Of the 20, well, 70% of them will be cheering on me. I have no doubt about that. So it may feel a bit more intimidating for Scott to be classed as the class fighter, you know, but when he's standing on the ramp and him as the home fighter is getting worse reception than me, let's see how he deals with that.
Okay, thank you. Good luck in the fight. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Jonathan Snowden with Bleacher Report.
Hi, Carl. I asked Scott this question. I'm trying to get a sense of the rivalry between Ireland and England when it comes to boxing. And I know Belfast has kind of been at the heart of the storm when it comes to struggles between England and Ireland. So I wonder if you had a special perspective about what that rivalry means, and does it still mean a lot to you and your fans?
Well, there's a rivalry, you know, Ireland versus England is a big rivalry, and not just in boxing, but in all sports. But I think that's what Eddie Hearn and Quigg are trying to make out here, that this is Ireland versus England. It's not. I have fans from all over the UK, all over Ireland. This is really the UK and Ireland and my support versus Scott Quigg's support of Manchester. It's not an Ireland thing here. It's my support against his, and I have a lot more than him.
So the boxing scene generally in the UK and Ireland is so strong right now. It's been a very exciting time. Do you feel like you're participating in something pretty special in this fight, and just generally, it's a good time for British and Irish boxing?
Yeah, it is a good time for British and Irish boxing. Obviously, there's a lot of world champions at the minute. I think there's 12 at the minute. There's going to be one less by the time me and Quigg fight, but I know it's not going to be me. But we're in a very, very short position. We're putting on some big fights at the minute, and we're getting a lot of support from the fans. I think that, you know, there's 20,000 coming to watch me and Scott Quigg, but this fight, if it had been the right time of the year, we could have done it outdoors and maybe sold 30 or 40,000 tickets. So boxing's in a great place at the minute, and we're all playing our wee part in it.
So last year, Carl, you came to America for the first time. This fight is going to be broadcast on Showtime. Is this part of a strategy for you to eventually come fight over here in some major fights?
Yeah, I want to fight in the States as much as possible. I've always said that. I would love to fight on the East Coast, especially. I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a potential for a big fan base there for me with the Irish Americans. So that's the objective, to get out and fight in America more often. But again, it's one fight at a time here. I need to deal with Scott Quigg first, and that's this fight in Manchester on this side of the Atlantic. So once I deal with him, we'll look at our options. But, you know, I really want to take the States by storm, and obviously appearing on CBS in my last, and this fight now on Showtime, we're going the right way about it.
Do you watch the MMA fighter Conor McGregor and see anything that you can take from his game on the promotional side to make your name a little bit bigger over here? Obviously, he's had huge success. Have you been tracking him and seeing what he does?
Well, I watch him, and I never really paid much attention to UFC or MMA until Conor McGregor got involved. And anytime he fights, I want to see him fighting. So it shows you the type of appeal that he has, but I'm not the same person as Conor McGregor. I'm not, you know, I go about my work quietly and subtly. I just get on with things. I do my business in the ring, but McGregor's playing the game. He's very clever. He's getting a lot of, you know, you either love him or you hate him. I really like him. I think McGregor is brilliant. He's a huge star in Ireland, but equally as big in the States. And he's playing the game, but I don't really take anything from that. I'm not gonna change my personality just because of McGregor's success.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, and look forward to seeing the fight.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Mitch Abramson with RingTV.com.
Hey, Carl. How are you today?
How you doing, Mitch?
Good. I asked Scott the same question, but the winner of this fight will likely have to give up a belt to face his mandatory, the WBA, with Riggenbauer and the IBF with Wake. Do you have any preference between either of those guys at this point?
Well, Riggle is the man you have to beat if you want to call yourself the main guy in the division. Yeah. So it does. It, whatever happens, happens. But I'm happy to pick Riggle. I'm happy to pick Shingo Wake. Whoever my team see is the most sensible option, that's what I'm going to do. I feel a little bit sorry for the position that Riggle's been put in. I feel that Scott Quigg should be a little bit embarrassed and how he's actually, you know, if I can say, win world titles. I don't know if he's actually won them. He's been handed them a lot of time, and he's been given them world room. So I feel a bit sorry for Riggle, but I'm happy to fight anyone. I don't fear anyone. I believe I'm the best super bantamweight in the world. But if you wanna prove that, then you need to beat Riggle, and I'm prepared to do that.
When you say that you feel sorry for Riggenbauer, what do you mean by that?
Well, just because of the situation that he's an unbelievable fighter. He's someone who I admire. Obviously, the TV channels, they don't appreciate his style of boxing. They want to see blood and guts. They don't want, you know, technically, there's no one better on him in the world. But it's just the way he's been treated with the governing bodies. He's been, I think he's been unfairly treated. They've given Scott Quigg his title. I just think that's been unfair. So, you have to feel a little bit sorry for him.
Okay. Thanks, Carl. Good luck in your fight.
Thank you.
Operator, can you give instructions one more time, please? We have a couple more minutes with Team Frampton for those on the media. So if you want to ask a question, consider this your two-minute warning.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, it is star 1.
And while we wait, I got a quick question. Hey, Barry, since Stephen and Chris both alluded to the fact that, you know, this is Showtime's 30-year anniversary of Showtime Championship Boxing, you fought on the third ever, fight back in 86. How can you describe how, you know, the rivalry Irish versus UK has evolved since when you were fighting?
Well, I mean, it's always been, you know, Ireland against England, I think, has always been, you know, we have the Four Nations, for example. We've got the Four Nations on at the moment with the rugby. So, in actual fact, it's the Six Nations because we've got Italy and France, but you know when it was the Four Nations, and even now, you know they want to win. You know, the Irish want to win, and the English want to win the local derby, as it were, and that's always been the case. But you know, to be honest, because they're from the north, and you know, he's from Northern Ireland, he's from a Protestant background, he considers himself British anyway, so he's got a lot of both Irish fans and British fans, and so that, you know, that's great, and that's why I think Eddie's got it wrong, because it's not just going to be Ireland against England. It's going to be Carl Frampton's fans against Scott Higgs, and there's a huge difference. Carl has got a phenomenal amount of support. I was in there that night, and Carl sort of played it down a little bit. When he's standing on those stairs before, or that ramp before he walks out to the crowd, it will feel very hostile for Scott Quigg, and whereas Carl, he'll get a bit of booing and cheering here and there, but the majority of the fans, and they're very, very noisy fans, they will create a phenomenal atmosphere for him. So it'll be interesting to see how Quigg deals with that. But it's, I mean, that's all by the by. All the talking is all, You know, that's all nonsense. That's all gone now. What we're focusing on is that February the 27th, this guy's in great condition. He's been sparring brilliantly, been training very hard, you know, and he's really got himself into great condition. And this is a, you know, this is a genuine, well, a lot of people think it's a 50-50 fight. We think Carl is much better in adaptability and the fact that he can fight aggressively, fight defensively, and fight off the back foot, the front foot. And I just think he's a more complete fighter. But we got to show it and prove it on the night. And I know his last time in America, he was over eager. He wanted to impress, and he walked on a couple of shots in the first round. The first one really was only a stumble, but the second one was a good shot. But he done what all champions done, got off his arse, and beat the living daylights out of Gonzalez. He completely dominated the last part of the fight. So I don't see that as a negative yet. An hour on terrestrial TV in America, an hour on terrestrial TV in the UK, and his stock, rather than being damaged, is growing.
Okay, fantastic. Operator, thank you, Barry.
We have a question on the line from Dan Raphael with ESPN.
Thank you very much. Hello, Barry and Carl. Good to talk to you guys today.
How you doing?
Hey, Carl, I jumped on the call a little bit late, so forgive me if this was asked of you already. I know when you came to the U.S. and you fought Gonzalez back in July, in the pre-fight and the post-fight, I think you talked a little bit about it's getting to be a bit of a struggle getting down to the junior featherweight limit of 122 pounds. And I'm wondering, this is now the big fight for you, certainly your biggest fight in this weight class. Are you of the opinion that whatever happens on February 27th, that particularly if you're the winner of the fight, that you know you've made your statement at 122 and it's time to go up to the featherweight division? And Barry, if you could chime in on that also, your opinion on that also, Barry, when Carl is done.
There's a good chance, you know, we'll sit down after the fight and we'll make a decision then. But you know, it's not easy for me to make 122 pounds. It's never been easy, but I've always done it. And we made a conscious effort for, you know, coming into this training camp. We sat down as a team and the plan behind it, and it came from Shane, really, was to get my weight down as soon as possible and hold it at a weight that I think that I fight best at. So my weight is pretty good at the minute. You know, we're 3.5 weeks away from the weigh-in, and my weight's probably better than it normally is. So we've made an effort to do that because it's, you know, again, but I'm not growing anymore. I'm 29 the week before the fight. So
what you say, Carl? You say you're 129 now, a week before the fight?
No, I will be 29 years of age the week before the fight. So I'm not growing. I'm not getting any bigger. It's not as if I'm going to have a growth spurt or anything. Can make it. I could be a career super bantamweight, but obviously I want to move up at some point. And if that's it after this next fight, or we stay around to fight guys like Rigo or Shingo Wake, that'll be something that I'll need to talk about with my team after the fight.
Well, I wondered also because of the fact that it is a unification, and if you look through particularly recent boxing history, when fighters win that kind of, you know, really big time significant fight where they're able to either unify titles or beat one of the other top considered fighters in their weight class, you know, at that point then they move up because they have aspirations to become a champion in another weight class. And I'm wondering, you know, you have some guys like Bernard Hopkins, for example, who stayed at middleweight for, you know, more than a decade and just, you know, set records in that one weight class. And you have other fighters like a Pacquiao or a De La Hoya, you know, who went up and just zoomed up the scale and won a whole bunch of titles. Which are you of the desire? You want to stick and just keep being the dominant force at 122, or would you like to maybe win a featherweight title, maybe win a junior lightweight title?
Yeah, I would. I genuinely would like to. You know, if you want to talk about legacy, it's about winning as many titles as possible in as many weight divisions. For me, and to create a legacy, it's going to be important for me to win world titles in more than one weight division. So I want to move up. You know, I'm not the tallest guy in the world. I don't really have the frame to go up too many weight divisions. But I'm strong. I'm stronger than most super bantamweights. I'm stronger than most featherweights as a super bantamweight. And I'd be happy to move up to featherweight and probably finish my career at super featherweight. You know, it'll probably be hard for me to go any further than that, but I'd be, you know, if I win a world title in another weight division, I'll be very happy, but I've got the capabilities to win world titles in three weight divisions, no doubt.
And
sorry, Barry, say it again.
I said, is Barry still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can I? I was going to say maybe I should answer that question, but Carl answered quite eloquently. I mean, it's the bottom line is he's a career 122 pounder. We've done it for how many? 4 years, 5 years. So I don't think if we had the stick of the weight, it wouldn't be a problem. It's not easy to make it because he's a big fella for the division, but it's, you know, 95% of guys that are in boxing struggle with weight. The problem out in Texas was he was just drinking too much liquid after the last couple of days after the weigh-in or after he trained, and therefore he was going up again and holding the water. It's just it's interesting how the different temperatures. Now, of course, things are much better. We're at a temperature we're used to making the weight. He can do it. Maybe Shane can add to that again. But going back to unification stuff and going up in weight, obviously, you know, we're only focused at the moment on February 27th. It was my job to look ahead. And he mentioned also to the previous guy that Rigo is a great champion and is somebody that he would definitely take on. Me as his manager have to look at the most lucrative fights out there for him. There is Rigo, there is the possibility of a mandatory against Shingo Wake. There's also the possibility, I mean, Santa Cruz has said he wants to fight him, but he's done that before, and then he's written it. But he's interested at 126. There's a lot of very exciting guys that Al Heyman has at 126 that we could do it. We'd also look at Selby as a possibility as well. So there's a handful of guys out there that we could fight, but ultimately, you know, this fight on the February 27th is what we're focusing on, but he could easily shift to 126 and still be a monster at 126.
Okay, Barry, my question then is, you just were sort of touching on it. This fight, of course, this is the big one for you guys right now, and I know it was a hard, complicated deal to make. You guys went back and forth for quite a while. So my question is, my understanding, you tell me if I'm wrong here, I think that when you and Eddie sat down and worked things out to do this match, that it was a two-fight deal, that however things go, you know, there could certainly be a rematch between these two guys. Are you tied to the rematch regardless of the outcome, or can you move on and do whatever you want?
It all depends, you know. I mean, it all depends on how exciting the fight is,
mm-hmm.
and what sort of response there is, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, there's been mention of a rematch, but nothing set in stone. Absolutely nothing set in stone.
Okay.
So it has to. It's like a cash register. All of the apples have to come up.
Got it. All right. Thank you very much, Barry. Carl, appreciate your time. I wish you guys great luck in the fight. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay. The last
all
question.
Right. Oh. Go ahead, operator.
The
last
question on the line comes from Jake Donovan with BoxingScene.com.
Thank you very much. Hey, Carl, I know you've been after this fight for 4 years. Do you get the sense that this fight is actually happening at the right time, or that it's just kind of been delayed until maybe the other side wanted it to happen?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably nigh happening at the right time.
Okay.
But, you know, if you'd asked me that 2 years ago when I was looking to fight and they wouldn't fight me, I would have said something different. But things have just happened, and it seems like they've happened for a reason, and obviously now is the right time. We're both bigger names. There's a couple of world titles on the line, so the fight is much bigger now than it would have been for a British title when I originally wanted to fight Scott. So given us, you know, the chance for both of us to make a lot of money, obviously, because it's a bigger fight, but to make our names much bigger. This is a fight, especially in the UK, that's going to be really hyped. Sky TV are going to go big on it, starting very, very soon. Obviously, you're getting a lot of coverage in America from you guys as well. So it's given both fighters an opportunity to make their stock rise. But I know for a fact there's only going to be one winner. I know that. I've known it for the last 4 or 5 years that I can beat this guy. And I think it tells you enough that he never wanted to fight me until now, until there's a lot of money on the table. He never wanted to fight me for a British title when he would have been making less money. So I think you can look into that how you want, but I've always wanted this fight.
With that in mind, do you feel like there's been a certain evolution between with both of you fighters? Like, do you think he's gotten significantly better since he was first on your radar?
He's probably got better, but I've got better as well. I think that just happens with development, and you know, we're good professional fighters. We're very dedicated to the sport, so I think both of us have got better. But I just think I'm head and shoulders above this guy. I don't want to take Scott Quigg lightly. I don't want to feel like people are, you know, that I'm looking past them. I'm not. I'm training very, very hard for this fight. But me on my best, if I put in 100% performance, if I put in the best performance I can, and Scott Quigg puts in the best performance he can, then I win the fight, and it's not even close. So it's about me. It's about me and how I perform, because I know if I perform my best, then there's only one winner.
All right, great. Thank you very much, Carl. We're really looking forward to this fight.
Thanks very much.
Well, I think with that, that will wrap up our call for today. I want to thank all the press in the U.S. for jumping on and for getting behind the support of this fight. February 27th in the late afternoon, early evening, live on Showtime Extreme, and then replaying again later that night on Showtime as part of our championship boxing event that night. So, Barry, Shane, and Jake McQuiggan, if you're listening, I want to thank you for helping us orchestrate this call and for being on. Carl Frampton, thank you for taking the time out of training, and we wish you the best of luck in your continued preparations. After this call, I think I speak for all of us. We're looking forward to this fight even more so than we had about an hour ago when we started. So again, thank you, and good evening to everyone.
Bye.
That concludes this afternoon's teleconference. You may now disconnect.